May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 163. Great God, if thou shouldst bring me near to answer at thy awful bar and my own self defend, if Jesus did himself withdraw, I know thy holy fiery law my soul to hell would send. Hymn 163.
Thank you. from the Holy Word of God, let us read in the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5. Mark 5. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God, that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. He asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. And there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, we may enter into them. Forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. The herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And, behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garments. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague." While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, "Why make ye this ado, and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, "Talitha cumi," which is, being interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Let us pray. Most blessed and most holy God, thou art the I Am. We bow before thee and seek thy face in the only way of thy own providing. Even through thee, Lord Jesus, the beloved Son. And we desire now, as we look unto God, to look particularly unto thee, and that we may be favoured, Lord, to truly know thy help here this evening. Thou be pleased to hear our petitions for the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost may be here this evening. Thou be pleased, dear Emmanuel, to send the Holy Spirit to us from the Father. The Father may send the Holy Spirit to us in thy precious name. We may plead thy name for every blessing that we need. In fact, Lord, there's no other name. No other name there's no other way but through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, help us to humbly believe in thee. Oh, we long to believe in thee more, Lord. Oh, we really do. Oh, Lord, help us to humbly think upon thy name tonight. Give us some sweet meditation. Oh, the psalmist said, my meditation of him shall be sweet. We're needy. We're poor, we're sinful. We've got desperately wicked hearts. We're so frail. There are so many things round and about us that press us sore and weigh heavily upon us. And Lord, with not just the trials in life, and there are many, and sometimes crushing, overwhelming worries. But Lord, it's the plague within. Oh, what a mighty company, inside and outside. Our poor, weak faith. Oh, it seems sometimes impossible. Oh, we can understand the poet saying, mine's an urgent, pressing case. Do not turn away thy face. Oh, do help us even from Job's ditch and from the fish's belly and from Jeremiah's dungeon and from the lonely place that Jacob was in to look unto thee, Lord. Oh, to truly draw near. Oh, may we sink into thy hands. Oh, may we seek to know no will but thine. Despite all the heartache and the ill will that we have and what we deserve, as we've sung our opening hymn, to all the crushing blows and the pressing weights, oh, help us. Help us still to seek thy blessed face, to open our mouth wide, thou mightest fill it, and plead the all-prevailing name, and say like the poet, I can no denial take, when I plead for Jesus' sake. Oh, to increase our faith, Lord. Oh, to lay hold upon thee and plead thy all-prevailing name, and so thy blessed, glorious will be done. Oh, because thou art so compassionate. We'll understand our cases, our poverty. Oh, we're not ready yet to die. Let us see this. We may view things by precious faith and know thy blessing, live in sweet hope, it is well and will be well. But there is a harvest time and a ripening. How we often feel so green. Oh, so unready for harvest. Feeling so dreadful in the sight of God. Feeling so far off and so dead at times. Got wretched cases. But thou art Christ. Oh, the wondrous gift of thee. All for sinners, sinners who by nature hate thee, sinners who have no capacity to love thee. Oh, the only nature we have is rebellion, a natural hatred of the things of holiness and of things of God. Oh, we pray for life, real living desires, real spiritual longings. Oh, do favour with prayer, secret prayer, wrestling prayer, to press into the kingdom, press toward that mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, to press our cases, Lord. Oh, come and do us good. Dear kind physician to all about us here tonight, all our heartache, all our sorrows, all our overwhelming things, all our guiltiness, our sin is not hid from thee. Lord, oh, do hide us in thyself, that God may no longer see our sins. The blessed God, thou most holy heavenly Father, hallowed be thy great name, may put all our sins behind thy back, thus love us in thy Son. Oh, may we be favoured with Holy Spirit's sweet teaching and deep impression and engraving in our hearts, that our sins, which are so many, are all forgiven. They were laid on Jesus, and Jesus put them away by the death of himself. All is pardoned, all is atoned for. All is put away into the land of forgetfulness. Oh, do grant us these favours, and do assure our conscience the need, poor as we are, among thy sons and daughters. And thou wilt never leave us nor forsake us, and it is well, and will be well while life endures, and well when called to die. Oh, thy kingdom come, Lord. We're but poor, feeble folks here tonight, creatures of a day, inconstant, changeable, weak, and treacherous dealers, really. We soon forget. Oh, we're hot and cold in half an hour. We wander from the Lord. We don't mean to do so, but we do. It's nature, Lord, and we need much saving, real saving. We need life and the abundance of it, Lord. And Lord, we need thy help in the daily journey. All our responsibilities, all our affairs, all our matters. What wisdom we need. What understanding we need. What discretion we need. What strength we need. What fortitude we need. Oh, we need the help of the Almighty. Oh, it's true, Lord, that it's said, without thee we can do nothing. But may we prove like the apostle who said that he could do all things through Christ which strengthened him. Oh, he did everything once without Christ, but nothing was done. It's all a sham. He was ignorant. Lord, nothing been done for him, poor man, as he did everything himself. He knew nothing about a refuge or a rescue or salvation. But, oh, he didn't realise it. There was one yet to visit him, one he hated, one he wanted to annihilate, whose name to annihilate from the earth. And yet, rich in mercy, rich in mercy. Oh, show us the same riches in mercy and grace to us poor, needy, helpless sinners, Lord. But then he was taught something so blessed. The poor man who had never accomplished a vestige of righteousness and couldn't please God at all as he fancied in his ignorance. Oh, now he knew who could help him. And he could truly say, out of a pure heart, by saving experience, I can do all things. Oh, have to believe that if thou art with us and dost ripen us and prepare us, we can die through thee. We can endure. We can overcome. We can resist. We can lay hold upon thee. Oh, we can pray. We can believe. We can repent through Christ. Oh, the spring of love. Oh, we want to know thee more, Lord. Do help us. Oh, be our salvation. Be to us that deep, sweet well of love. May draw with joy from the wells of salvation. May know thee to be a performing God. Oh, it is by precious faith, not by any works of righteousness or human strength or ingenuity, Lord, but it's by faith, drawing near, believing in the Lord. Oh, so coming to thy feet to worship thee. Oh, how the Syrophoenician woman worshipped thee. We've just read how that poor, mad Gadarene, he came and worshipped thee. Oh, we do pray that we may have some sense in our heart that the Son of the Highest, the Blessed One, what a blessed one thou art. For God is blessed forevermore, and thou art his beloved Son, God blessed forevermore. Oh, make us true worshippers. Come where we are, Lord. Run a little word in season, some help from God. Think of all friends in the various circumstances and daily duties and responsibilities and the way we have to go, the various things in our lives. We think of the afflicted and the sick. And those that are weak, and we think of those in their daily labours and responsibility in business, with family cares and concerns, and those with many worries, and those in fiery trials, those who struggle, Lord, with the flesh. Oh, what a flesh it is. Oh, we need much saving, much subduing of the flesh. Oh, remember us each, dear physician, with his ever infallible cure. Think of the little Wonderland when in hospital we pray, Lord, in thy tender mercies to once again put forth thy healing hand, grant that goodly measure in restoration and healing. And may he indeed prove to be a vessel of mercy and will prepare to fall unto glory. We humbly beg, blessed dear parents, may be greatly sanctified, and may they prove these things to be among the all things that work together for good to them that love God. Oh, give them that abundance of life and comfort them, and may they see thy goodness. And all cases that are special and needy, all bad cases, weak cases, helpless cases, Lord, oh, may there be some help in Zion tonight, some help from the sanctuary above, oh, some help from God. Do be with us in life's journey. We come towards the close of another year. How swiftly our days pass through. Where have our days gone, Lord? We've come to, though mercifully we don't perhaps feel old like, as it were, quite yet, but nevertheless we've come to the evening time of life, and so favoured over the years with much health and strength, and but what we didn't realise, our life was so quickly passing through, and we can't impress our young friends enough, and that they won't be impressed by us. They don't even realise it, Lord, as we didn't, how quickly their life will fly away, and how quickly they will come to the evening time of life. They don't realise it, but do impress it upon them that life is short, and show them their need of a covering. Show them their sins. Show them their ruin. Show them something of thy intrinsic holiness, their great need of forgiveness and reconciliation, mercy and washing. Oh, show them that except they repent, they shall all likewise perish, Lord. Oh, we pray. Oh, remember it to the generations. Bless office bearers. Give wisdom and grace and godly fear. Oh, remember the seeking souls. Remember the humble poor. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, we pray for them. Oh, remember each one then. Those who would be here, not able by reason of business or family cares and concerns, we pray for them. Any that could have been here and have no need or no exercise, give them a real need. Give them an exercise. Lord, before we close, we thank thee for so many mercies. The mercies of this year, the mercies of every year since we've been born. Oh, we look back. Nothing but goodness and mercy has followed us, Lord. Oh, help us to humbly hope still. As David expressed it, because thou art his shepherd. And he had that sweet realization he would not want. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, grant us that portion, that favour, that blessing. We see a new year ahead. Oh, how we need thee. We do not know what will unfold for us in this coming year. But may we ask this, that will be that same God to us in the coming year, that has been to us this year and all our days here below. How good, how gracious. But our need increases. It's a mystery. Our need increases. It really does. We need more help than we used to. We need much more saving than we used to. Oh, we do need a much more love than we used to. There's always been love from thee. Lord, we perceive the day approaching. We realise, Lord, our utter helplessness in death. And we want a sure foundation, an eternal rock to sink down on. Oh, I want to know thee. Want thee to be formed in our hearts. Want to dwell under thy shadow. Want to dwell at thy feet. Oh, show us thy covenant more. Unfold thy goodness more. Been so good to us, Lord. But what a fullness. Oh, thou art never short of fullness of love and fullness of mercy. We're very short of it. But thou art full of it, Lord, for sinners like ourselves. Oh, thy kingdom come, Lord. So bless this people. Grant them thy spirit. And bless thy dear Zion. all thy sons, all thy people, the twos and threes that meet together. We remember them each at the throne of grace. Bless the dear flock and friends at home, every precious soul, young and old, who worships there. Oh, may they be thine. And may there be that petition made in this church, even from the office bearers and from the mothers in Israel and those praying pillars here. Oh, that the precious souls who worship here, Lord. Oh, may they be wrought upon. Oh, may they be saved. Oh, may they be blessed. Oh, we do beseech thee that not one who worships here or attempts to or comes in the act of worship may one day lift up their eyes in hell, being in torment. We think of our families in this matter, our poor dear families, our poor dear grandchildren, in the world they live in. Put forth thy special grace, thy mighty grace, and touch their hearts. And Lord, among the flock at home and the flock here, oh, thy kingdom come. We ask these favours in thy name. We know that a sovereign prince, thou doest thou pleasest. It's thy prerogative. Thou mayest do us with thine own that thou pleasest. But Lord, oh, they've all got never dying precious souls. Oh, may to own honour and glory, sinners be blessed, sinners be saved. And now our closing petition, Lord, pardon our many, many, many mighty sins, their innumerable sins. But may thy name be as ointment poured forth. Or there may be the sweet savour of Christ in thy word tonight. Loose this poor stammerer's tongue. May there be that dew from heaven, descending upon us in pulpit and in pew. May take a few things home. Oh, pardon our many and our mighty sins. Plead thy precious name, all-prevailing name. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake.
Hymn 571. Behold with wondering eyes the servant of the Lord. On wings of love he flies, his counsels to unfold. He comes with truth and grace, and Zion shall behold his face. Hymn 571.
Thank you.
in complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Ghost, I ask your prayer for attention to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5, and to verse 28. Mark 5, verse 28. If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. In this chapter that we have read, there are three different cases. They're not quite the same. And there were three perfect and infallible cures. Our cases vary here this evening, in our circumstances, in our affairs, in our providence, and in our souls. Experience where we are spiritually tonight, we may vary. But what a mercy if we indeed are favoured with the true common faith of God's dear people. Because if we're taught of God, we shall be taught two things that everyone who gets to heaven is taught. And they're taught deeply too, because they must ripen for glory, that they must be gathered. And one solemn teaching is our ruin, our absolute ruin, the dreadful malady. And the other is, oh, how blessed is Christ. We're taught the wonders of redeeming love. Receive in that teaching. We're not teaching to the head. It's salvation given. The sanctifying grace of God in the heart. Oh, my friends, we're sweetly instructed and taught in the saving knowledge of the pardon of our sins and our justifying through Jesus Christ our Lord, that we're robed, that we're found in him. Therefore, the beginning of a union takes place. Now, the union, of course, never had a beginning because God never had a beginning. But there's experiencing of salvation. It's brought down in the measure of time to the generations that unfold until the end of time. The Lord visits the people he loves, you see. And he brings his love to them, his mercy to them, shows them his covenant. And you know, he prepares them for marriage. Or if we're in natural things, you see, if we're being prepared for marriage, that love grows and anticipates, you see. And therefore, you see, we're prepared for a time when we shall be married. That means we're weaned from all earthly loves and all earthly strengths and all earthly pleasures, as it were, that come in front of Emmanuel. We have our lawful blessings, but we must hold them loosely. We'll leave them all behind one day. Oh, to be married to him. And how impossible you find things with you and things with me. How dependent we are upon his goodwill. It's something the Holy Ghost will sweetly teach you and I over the years. He's of goodwill. He's of such goodwill that despite all our manners and wanderings and backsliding and hardness of heart, he's faithful in who begins the work. What a mercy if you can truly trace out he's begun a work in you. What an infinite mercy. Why should God give you such grant you such a favour and give you such an abundance of life to begin a work of grace to save you from your sins, from the lowest pit, and to fit and prepare you to dwell with him forever with all the blood-washed saints, the sons of men redeemed, and to be with those heavenly hosts of angels to adore the Lamb when, Oh, we know what we deserve. Do you know what you deserve, my friend? And do you long for Christ? Well, you see, the Lord's people are taught their just deserts, but they're sweetly instructed to look to Christ and to plead with Christ and to call upon his name and to draw near, to believe he alone can satisfy their soul. Do you believe that if you can really touch him as gum, you'll be whole? This is the teaching of the Blessed Spirit, you see. You see, this woman who had been afflicted with this issue for 12 years, and she went to many physicians of no value, and she couldn't find a cure. Yes, but we read, when she heard of Jesus, she said, when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. There is an expression of true precious faith. And though our circumstance may be different to hers, yet have you that faith that expresses such things? Your matters, your life, your sinnership, the future, the unknown future, next year, all the griefs and woes and worries in family circles and the heavy responsibilities in life, and oh, our length of days, so uncertain, aren't they? So uncertain. And how we want the Lord to do so much. And what do you want to do? If you've got faith, you want to go to him and tell him your whole case, believing that not only he understands perfectly, but he's well able to do these things. You see, and the Lord works these things and makes us to realise more and more that we're unable to do these things. We're humbled in this over the years as we journey in our pilgrimage. We're unable. And oh, you meet with so many things. No doubt you have this year and maybe last year and in the approaching year, if we're spared. So many things have brought home how impossible is this situation. How hard is my case? Unable. But oh, may we draw near to Jesus on the mercy seat. Well, there were three different cures, of course. There was the little daughter that was somewhere and then she died. So it was too late. While you're found on praying ground, my friend, there's nothing too late for God. It's a very solemn truth, you know. He won't save the other side of the grave. If we die in unbelief, you can't be blessed the other side of death. We're lost forever and forever and forever. But while we're in the land of the living, oh, there's hope for a poor sinner that really hungers and thirsts after righteousness, that says in their heart, if I can get near Emmanuel, if I can tell him my case, if he be pleased to bless me, I don't deserve it. But you go and tell him you don't deserve any blessing, any mercy, any help, but you need it and you believe he's Christ. Therefore, the scriptures declare certain glorious truths. Yes, such and such poor sinners in the word of God, hell-deserving sinners, weak cases, desperate cases, as they came to God and poured out their heart, confessed their sins, the Lord blessed them. And there's a scripture you may bring with you in your prayers reverently, and how Emmanuel and your heavenly Father is pleased to hear you bring, believing the word of God. You bring it in your prayers, believing the word of God. I'm unworthy, I'm unfit, I'm wretched, I'm undone. But dear Emmanuel, they did say that they would never send any away that come to thee. Oh, thou canst not lie in these great and vital matters, Lord. Well, there were three cases, of course, and a poor man filled with devils, as it were, distorted and twisted in his mind. Poor man. And you know, the Lord healed him. healed him. In no case impossible, you know. I know there was a real illness here of the mind and the spirit there, which we don't fully fathom. The illnesses of the mind, commonly called mental illnesses, we can't quite fathom these things, can we? Who can understand how the body chemistry and the nervous system interrelates with the spirit of man and the spirit that we manifest? Oh, you see, there are these illnesses, they're put into categories, but really, we're all ruined in the fall. Although we'll not be actually afflicted like he was, do you feel so twisted in your sinnership, your personality? What a wicked heart we possess. How many faces have we got in public? How ugly we are before God. How many pretenses do we make, my friends? Does the Lord search things out in your heart and my heart, your life and my life? We want Christ. Oh, and your case seems to get worse with regard to the workings and activities, the inner workings and lurkings of our sinnership. But he who gives you eternal life and helps you to believe, he's well able to arise, well able to deliver. And he's shown his goodwill. If it be in accordance with thy goodwill, Lord, we're taught to pray. Oh, for thou art the Christ. Have mercy on me and deliver me. Well, three different cases. And this woman, of course, had this issue of blood. We've just come to her case now, the Lord helping. Three things, really, one would like to speak of concerning this woman. And I want to concentrate my remarks on this verse 28. If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Because it's a statement of precious faith, you know. No doubt she said to herself. Herself. Do you say things to yourself? We meet lots of folks that can say lots of things about religion, and they say it a lot to other people, but real religion is in the closet, you know, in secret. Oh, the Lord will weigh things in your life and my life to bring us in secret before him, in secret before him. Obviously, there are some things that are public, and it's a favour to have dear saints we may be able to commune with about our public matters, such as illnesses or providential troubles, which are much more public. But oh, you've got your private wounds and your private griefs and your secret exercises. And only you know the dimension of your sinnership. There's a peculiar thing in the kingdom of heaven. I can never quite fathom it myself, but I believe it to be true. And that is, every man shall know the plague of his own heart. His own sinnership is the worst he's met. We meet Christian folks sometimes who can tell you all about the congregation and all their faults and all their sins and all their whatnot. But a sanctified man has such a burden about himself. He has to come and sit in chapel as the chief of sinners. He hasn't got time to worry about other sinnerships. It's his own that really matters, you see. This is how the Lord deals with us to bring us to his blessed feet, isn't it? Well, let us look at this then. Firstly, the malady. The malady. The issue of blood in this case. And secondly, her faith, her exercise. Let me touch him. Let me touch him. And then, thirdly, oh, the infallible cure. The virtue of Jesus. The virtue of Jesus. All the pure, holy, royal balm and life and love and mercy and medicine and resurrection power that's with him to do everything for you. Can he heal you? Can he hear your prayers tonight? Did not say in 6 days, yes, let there be, and there was. He spake and it was done in creation. Can he not speak salvation? Yes, at a terrible cost. A most blessed cost, though. Terrible and blessed. the weight of your sins was punished. Therefore, all the church will feel something of the weight of their sins, that they may value him who was punished, who died for them. Have you felt the weight of your sins today? Oh, you may have been blessed indeed, and there are those who have been blessed. And you can't deny it when the Lord blesses you. It's sweet, and it's something that stays with you. It's engraved, a sweet hope in Christ. But you groan. The favoured apostle groaned. He was a chief of sinners. He wasn't thinking of his own regeneracy when he was a Pharisee. It's what he was each day, as he knew what he was in the sight of God. Well, you see, the malady. This woman had a sickness she couldn't cure. And you see, our sinnership, my friends, is deadly. We can't cure it. We can't cure it. Our sinnership is beyond our powers. With natural skills and abilities and intelligence, we're given mortal powers to be able to achieve and do certain things. And that's by God's providential permission. But it's something you can never do, heal your own soul. That's a great mercy that you can't. There's a great mercy to feel you can't too. Because that will show your need of him who fills his Father's throne. But you see, according to ceremonial law, this particular illness, there are a number of ones like leprosy and other things, this particular illness was really a type of sin. In the ceremonial law, those with running issues were not allowed into the sanctuary for worship, you see. And whether it was from outlets like this woman, or whether it was from abrasions or sores on the skin and whatnot, you see, there was an uncleanness attached to it. And Jesus spoke of our thoughts, you see. Oh, the Lord spoke plainly about you and about me. Very plainly about us, didn't he? Oh, what proceeds out of the heart, that defiles the man. That defiles the man. Well, it's innumerable, isn't it, to you and I? The number of times we have an ill thought, all day long, isn't it? Again and again and again. You know, you may be favoured with a sweet season of meditation, the Lord's presence, and there may be much subduing of all the corruptions and the thoughts. But nevertheless, still, those things that cross the mind. And they may sometimes go almost unnoticed. But when we are made acutely aware, we perceive our ruin, complete ruin. Well, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. The Lord listed a number. We could go on and on with them. Can be adulteries, murders, hatred, covetousness, thefts, foolishness. Thought of foolishness is sin. Oh, you see, and she couldn't cure herself. And you can't cure yourself of your thoughts, can you? Over the years, I've often pondered David's confession. He says in Psalm 109 how he hated vain thoughts. It's been a little relief to me with my vain thoughts. I could say, Lord, they're so innumerable. I believe I can say I hate them. I believe I can say I can hate them. I do hate them. And so do you. But they're there. And what you hate about yourself, if I may be, I speak very carefully upon this point, but you know, something in you still loves vain thoughts, doesn't it? Are there particular weaknesses about you that are sinful, and you have a love to certain forbidden things deep in your heart, you see. It doesn't take long to start entertaining, and you're defiled. You're defiled. The Lord give us a tender conscience. Is there hope? Is there a remedy? This woman had eternal life. We know nothing about her spiritually. I don't want to assume, but one could generally, I think, judge that It's when she heard of Christ, faith came, you see. There's a hearing of faith. There are those here, you've been brought up to hear of Christ from your infancy. That's a great favour of God's providence. And perhaps good parents to bring you to Zion's courts, you see. But there comes a day of a hearing by faith, you see. That's a difference, isn't it? And when you begin to hear by faith, you are conscious of malady and of a deadly disease. And or maybe God will bring storms into your life and worries and trials. How many godly people have had their beginnings by a providential trial? They brought into want and they thought in their heart, oh, there's only one can help me. Oh, but I'm such a sinner. I'm such a sinner. What shall I do? However can God help me? And so they begin to be in want. And answers to prayer and those providential matters bring home to their heart. There's one that hears prayer. One that all has power. One who can do everything. So this exercise is kindled to get to heaven. I'm sure dear godly friends here have many exercises about their lives. I have, you have. Many weights and many worries. Many crises may come into our lives. Oh, we're in want. We want God's mercy. But we hope our exercises don't just stop there, do they, about the issues of the lower world. It's the great matter of the world to come, isn't it? Eternal realities. But how the Lord loves and cares for the bodies of his dear people, as well as their souls. We speak of the never dying soul, don't we? Speak of the dying body. And in one sense, that's perfectly right, because the body will go to the dust. But that body will rise again. The being of God's people really are immortal beings. The spirit lives on as it is separated and dissolved from the body. And the body rots in the grave for all its wickedness and on account of its corruption. This vile body, the apostle speaks of. It's the Lord speaking it through the apostle. Who shall change this vile body? Maybe if Fashion can do his glorious body. So the Lord cares for your body, even though it's a vile body. You know you sin with it. He cares for his sheep. He's numbered the hairs of their head. Oh, she had an exercise. What it was really, if I could get near him, if I could get near him. Here, of course, because of his corporal presence, blessed be his name, he stooped to come into this lower world as a real man and live and die. And he performed salvation here, didn't he, in this world. The church's salvation was finished here below. All our debts were paid, my friends. All our sins washed away. A robe of righteousness brought in. Oh, the payment of his own heart's blood, pouring out of his soul unto death. Number with the transgressors. He rose the third day for our justification. The church complete, washed white in the blood of the Lamb. Love and everlasting love. No spot or blemish on the believer in the sight of Almighty God as he views the bride of Christ married to the bride. And the Heavenly Father knows one day, oh, the people his love will be with him. Jesus will present that church unto the Father, complete, sound and whole. And when they're with Jesus and gaze upon Jesus, they shall see their Heavenly Father, not in any bodily form, but God cannot be seen. But they gaze on Jesus, his lovely, holy body, shine in glory. Oh, they see God, forever and ever and are satisfied. And how God loves them. Jesus sheds all the loves upon them, all the loves of God. Oh, what a sweet mystery it is. You'll see me, you've seen the Father also. Therefore, he cares for that people. So he cares for you in your dying condition, in your woes. in your trials, in your sorrows. He came to save weak people, people that were so often unthankful and ungrateful, like his disciples. Oh, forgetful, forgetful of him. Oh, my friends, think of all the Old Testament saints as well as behavior of the apostles, oh, the mistakes they made. But they were given eternal life. The sin, though it broke out, didn't reign. You see, dear friends, the thoughts that you know are so sinful, you struggle at times, feeling they one day may get the ascendancy and sweep you away. You cry for mercy. See, though sin abounds, grace does therefore much more abound. Eternal life. The doubts that come across your spirit, the fears that rise when you look at your sins and your failings, the immensity of eternity, the great matter of dying, living all below, your religion will be proved in death. It will be proved in death. It will either be real with a heavenly origin, Jesus the author and the finisher, or counterfeit. Isn't it a great question at times, my dear friends, with you and with me? We're so very, very poor. He came the poor to bless. He gives the eternal life to believe in him. In such a way, you have to pray, have to pour out your heart. Cries for mercy, cries for the Lord's blessing, cries for felt nakedness, felt poverty, felt ruin, felt weakness. Yet a heart that goes out believing in the fullness of that grace that's in him. This woman believed in the fullness of the grace. So, though she went to touch him bodily, we can't do that. Yes, Thomas, he said, thou hast believed because thou hast seen. When he was guilty of unbelief, you see, and said he won't believe that Christ is risen, you see. He wouldn't believe the good report, poor man. Wasn't he a poor man too? Oh, but you're like that sometimes in your doubts. We're just the same, you know, as doubting Thomas. Blessed are they which have not seen yet believe. It's by faith, you see. You're given eternal life in your soul, perceiving your ruin and your helplessness, but you're led by the Holy Ghost and swiftly directed and enabled by the Holy Ghost to believe in the fullness of the glorious person of Christ, the exceeding and superabounding grace, oh, grace with full abundance of the King of glory who can truly bless, forgive, heal, deliver, answer your poor prayers. All for his name's sake. You see, so she said, if I'm ever touched but his clothes I shall behold. But of course there was a crowd, as it seems to be in the narrative, as recorded in the Gospels, not just this Gospel, two of the others. So you see, there was a crowd. So there was something special about this touch, you see. Many were bumping against the Lord Jesus. What a scene of grace there. The Holy One of God. He created the worlds. Comes a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, not with a halo around his face and all shining as people depict sometimes, but a man, a real man, blessed man, blessed Son of God, walking along. And people talking and milling around him, you see, some not believing him, despising him, speaking against him, others with humble faith, yet, oh, allowing himself to be touched, a mingling with the crowd in the normal way that we would. But somebody gradually came through, you see, the crowd, and just quietly, as it were, just brushed against him, you see, just brushed against him. She had a case. Precious faith, you see. And something happened. Virtue flowed. She immediately felt whole. She felt the flowing of a natural healing. but also I believe she felt a spiritual healing as well. And the Lord felt it too. Doesn't it show the union, the communion between Christ and his church? He loves to bless his people. He really does. He loves your plaintive cries. He loves your callings upon him for mercy and help. He reads your aching heart. He sees every step of your journey to the throne of grace. Oh, he sees the struggles that go on in your heart between faith and unbelief, a doubting frame, the devil's roarings, a guilty conscience, but a faith that says, there's no one can help me but Christ. Oh, no one can come where I am. Oh, if I perish, I perish, but I must come. You see, he loves to read those things going on in your heart. Because he shall see if the travellers have a soul and shall be satisfied. So he knows his own work, you see. And his own work in your heart by the sweet operation of God the Holy Ghost is to bring you to wrestle. Wrestle through the crowd. Press on into the kingdom. Fill your mouth with argument. This he does by increasing our precious faith and by teaching you from his word. How good it is to assemble together, my friends, to hear these things that are recorded. It may be you come on a Sabbath day and, yes, you hear, read of a narrative and hear of a text preached from, of a particular incident in the Word of God and the doctrine and the experience that goes with it. And though you're not blessed that day, but something remains with you. You've learned something and a trial comes and it comes back to your memory and you need Christ. And even perhaps it may have been a year ago. You remember that sermon. Now you want the blessings. You may not have needed it that day, but now you do. The Holy Ghost is the remembrancer. He's the remembrancer. Ah, the Holy Ghost is the remembrance of our sins too, isn't he? But the Holy Ghost is the remembrancer of the former mercies and the former blessings. And ah, my friends, you may have known those sweet blessings in days past. But now all clogged up and entangled, trials come and doubts rise and panic comes in your poor soul. Oh, he can't look upon me anymore. I'm so black. I'm so filthy. I've wandered from him. I'm so exercised. Oh, this storm has caught me. Oh, completely unprepared. What shall I do now? And he who gave you eternal life, the arising faith comes. I believe it's by his resurrection power, you know. It's his faithfulness with you. He begins to bring to remembrance how you weep over all your hardness of heart and forgetfulness. But you begin to view something so blessed, his covenant is the same. His covenant is the same. I've changed, he changes not. Beautiful verse, isn't it? From the Lord I change not, therefore your sons of Jacob are not consumed. But I must press on in this second thought. The Lord help me, I'll digress slightly. If I may but touch his clothes, you see, I shall be whole. It's like with your heart now, your case now. If he will grant me some real help and allow me to draw near, that I may really pour out my heart. You have to ask him for the faith to be able to wrestle. You want Jacob's portion, Jacob's blessing. Lord, give me that real precious faith and remove all the distractions that I might wrestle to the break of day. I might really get near in these waiting, these solemn matters and lay hold upon thee, Lord. I was thinking of our friends home concerning the case of Jacob in Genesis 32, you see. It's a sweet pattern, isn't it? Poor Jacob in trouble. And of course, dear friends, Esau's so vengeful. He's a murderer, of course, in his heart. He wasn't allowed to murder Jacob, but he wanted to earlier, didn't he? But God pacified him because he loved Jacob. And Jacob was a naughty man and a liar. And he's looked upon by his brother being a deceiver and a supplanter, though I don't understand the mystery. I'm not going to explain it. I'm not going to attempt to. It's the wondrous mystery of grace that a naughty, lying man had a blessing appointed for him. from all the accounts of eternity. And the blood of Christ answered all the wickedness of Jacob. It's washed it all away. I don't know another gospel. If that's not true, we're undone. If that's not true, we're undone. We're all twisted personalities, every one of us. And God will make you honest. I know we're not in his case, and the circumstances are different. But do you see the line I'm driving at, my friends? Oh, God is love. He had an appointed blessing, you see. Jacob had no desire for it. He only viewed the outward show and the outward blessings of earthly prosperity. That's how he viewed the covenant. But it was put into Jacob's heart to obtain the blessing of God. But he sinned in it. And now, oh, his sins, you see, are before him, poor man. And his great matter was, is the Lord for me in the matter? Is the Lord for me? Will the Lord defend me? Will the Lord remember what he told me at Bethel? And in your trials, will the Lord remember what he made known to you so many years ago? The blessing you received. Oh, my changes, Lord, oh, these changes have come. My circumstances are different. Oh, my sinner, since thou hast blessed me so many years ago, Lord, what shall I do? Oh, he had to wrestle. Divided his company, sent a present, which was prudent. That didn't save him, did it? He wanted to be alone with God, you see. So he sent the family over, and he went to prayer. How good the Lord was. It's good to go to prayer. Asaph said, it is good for me to draw near unto God. And it is good, you know. You know, and he was wrestling there alone, poor man in trouble, pleading the covenant, plead the covenant, my friends, in your prayers. The everlasting covenant sealed by blood. How a man appeared and wrestled with him. Blessed God. Yes, a man, there's a real man. With wounds still gaping wide, rich streams of blood once ran from hands and feet and side. 'Tis no old fancy of our brain, no metaphor we speak. This same dear man in heaven now reigns and suffered for our sake. I believe it was a pre-incarnation appearance of Emmanuel in a bodily form. Not the body that the Holy Ghost prepared in the womb of the Virgin, but an appearance in a bodily form. And he felt him but couldn't see him in that dark night. And so the man prevailed over Jacob to put his sight of joint. But that blessed one allowed Jacob to prevail over him. You all know the power and holiness and majesty of God as he humbles you, puts you off out of joint. You're disabled. Your sins have disabled you. You're before a holy God. You're such a worm and such a sinner. You feel all the infirmities in your sins. But his name, his person, his covenant promise is the remembrance of Bethel, as it was in Jacob's case. And so the Lord asked him his name and changed his name, which was a great blessing to him. He had hope in that change, didn't he? Even though that hour of wrestling. But then the faith prevailed. Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. Who art thou? Oh, blessed God, who art thou? Show me thyself now. Nothing visionary by the natural light of the eye, because it was a dark night. But he felt him. He'd laid hold upon him. He got hold of God. Do you know that in prayer sometimes, in secret prayer? Ask for it, friend. He delights in mercy. He loves his people. Loves his everlasting love, every one of them. They're all love with an everlasting love. And he loves to kiss his people. He loves to hear his people's cries as they pour out their heart to him. Tell me, I pray thee, therefore, thy name. Wherefore is it? They'll ask after my name. And he blessed him there. That's true, I believe, of every seeking soul. Everyone that inquires after and calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus. And blessed him there. A poor sinner, saved by grace, saved in that hour of great trial. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in the believer's ear. It soothes sorrow, heals his wound, drives away his fear. Blessed Jesus. says the poet. Thee we sing, thou of life, the eternal spring, thou art worthy, thou alone, thou the rock and cornerstone. He was to Jacob. Jacob could go up me, saw now. He halted upon his thigh. He had a limp and a pain. He had to hobble along a little, as it were. But he was blessed. He was blessed. He was saved. Lord had blessed him. He had sweet hope that God was with him still, that he would inherit the full blessing at last. And I've digressed. Now I must come quickly, friends. She touched, and the virtue flowed. That touch then is, I believe, known in sweet access. Ask for the Holy Spirit to give you access, and plead the access through blood, the access unto God by the death and resurrection and ascension of God into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, into heaven. As he sits there, he pleads your cause. Access unto the Father through the intercession of Jesus, who is now in heaven's court in the presence of God. And plead that name. Oh, think of that promise. And it shall come to pass that whosoever, thankful for that whosoever are you, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Through many dangers shall be saved. Through many deaths, many trials, oh, dreadful sin, it shall be saved. And the iron article of death, like a solemn valley before you. How dark without Christ. Oh, how bottomless without Christ. But what a sure rock is in that valley if Christ is with you. Yes, my dear friends, yes, through his name, access through Jesus Christ. I must hasten, the virtue is infallible, isn't it? Infallible. As for God, says David in Psalm 18, his way is perfect. And his way of perfect way of blessing his people. I haven't time to enlarge on that word, but his perfect way of dealing with you. We're made to feel very poor. It's not just a strict Baptist saying. I've been told many times you stretch just miserable sinners. You live on your feelings and you just keep on about poor and needy sinners. Well, I must keep on about them. I'm one myself. I'm really poor and destitute of all virtue, righteousness and holiness. Destitute of all that's good in the sight of God by nature. And I'm needy. I need all the fullness of Christ. All the fullness of Christ. And so do you, my friend. So we're thankful to be derided and despised for being poor and needy sinners. Jesus won't despise you. But now, the virtue, you see. Well, it is that wondrous grace. Oh, the fullness of him that fills his Father's throne. An ocean fullness. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Think a little earlier today concerning the Lord Jesus. You see, the apostle declared on Mars Hill, I think it was Mars Hill, for God shall judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. And therefore you and I will be judged by the Lord Jesus. Everyone will. Yes, young and old and believer and unbeliever, be loved, judged by the Lord Jesus. Now, the Lord, who will bring every one to him in the grand assize, has been filled with that fullness of grace by God to bless and save unto the uttermost. And unite in your trials, you've experienced the fullness, the trickling downs of help, the rising of faith, the strength given, but also this. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. The government of your life, the government of these three characters was upon the shoulder of Christ. So the trials and the workings out of them and the promised deliverances have been placed upon the government of Christ. They're upon his shoulders to bear, to manage, to prevail. Oh, to deliver. Oh, what a name is the name of Christ, my friends. You may come to all your woes and all your ignorance and all your poverty and all your stinking wounds, all your helplessness. Ah, but you see, there are those times when you feel sinking under the load and under the weight. But touched with the sympathy within, he knows our feeble frame. He knows what sore temptation means. He has felt the same. So if a man of sorrows acquainted with grief, there is able to succour them that are tempted. So your merciful high priest fully understands and compassionates your case, but he's pleased to hear your confessions. Confess your sins, confess your unworthiness to receive any mercy, any help. Oh, go with the publican's prayer for the blessings and forgiveness and mercy you need. And call upon that precious, holy, all-prevailing name. And oh, my friends, his loving heart is engaged with everlasting surety. Plead all that he means to you. His power, he's the resurrection. He's the fountain of wisdom. He knows what is best. He has a loving heart. Himself has suffered. He understands your sufferings. And he has a love to his people to bless them in their troubles, in their trials, and to bring them safely through and bring them through all their troubles, all their sorrows. And in this case, we view it in the spiritual aspect of the figure to wash away all our sins. All our sins, friends. And so she was made whole. She had to confess it. She had to confess it. That's to the glory of Christ. Who touched me? Well, Master, many were thronging thee. What does that say? Who touched me? Somebody has touched. Prophecy of virtue gone out of me. And she had confessed it, recorded another gospel. For all the people, the cause why she had touched him. Ah, may we ever reverence him and confess even to his dear people among his deep and before the church the reason, the cause why we had to touch him and the mercy received. Now some of you may be saying in tears and yet not receive the mercy you want in a particular aspect of your soul or your circumstances, but press on and plead Christ. And my friends, when he hears your poor, poor, poor prayers, reverence him and honour him. Oh, my friends, confess how good he is. Let it be to his glory, not to yours. He will have all the glory in that day. And therefore may have all the glory from us here. Ah, we wish we could speak more of him, of his virtue, his love. And oh, we could live more to his glory. Or may we press to Christ. This is the sweet teaching, isn't it, in this particular narrative, that Jesus has infinite cure and virtue. And my friends, he'll never send any away that come to him and he's willing to be touched. Yes, even by somebody ceremonially under the law, unclean, which is typical of our sinnership. Unclean, unclean. Oh, Jesus, a mighty Saviour, helpless souls have here a friend. He's borne their misbehaviour and his mercy knows no end. Oh, may we ever praise him and live to his glory as helped, as helped. So we must come to a close and we must go home. Lord, grant us safe journeys. But dear friends, tomorrow and the day after, the struggles. Oh, the trial continues. Oh, the sinnership's there. You need renewed vigour, renewed strength, renewed help, don't you? And so do I. But may we, and I'll quote the hymn and then I must close, behold the throne of grace. The promise draws me near. There Jesus shows his smiling face and waits to answer prayer. John Newton's right. Ah, I pray serve you. He waits to answer prayer. That rich atoning blood which sprinkled round I see provides for those who come to God an all-prevailing plea. My soul, my poor, needy soul, sin-sick soul, ask what thou wilt, Thou canst not be too bold, since his blood for thee he spilt, what else can he withhold? Let us ask thee, Lord's blessing upon the word. O Lord, please bless that which has been true, and under the sweet influence of the Holy Ghost. May it do us good and remain with us. Take a few things home. May they stay for a little season, all we beg. And Lord, please forgive all spoken wrong in thy sight. Oh, cover the mantle of thy forgiving love, all thou seen amiss among us tonight. Now take us on our ways in peace and safety. For everlasting light and guide, we plead for Jesus Christ's sake.
God willing, Mr. Robert Field will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Pack on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn number 680. Before all worlds the glorious plan, the blessed eternal deed, was settled by the eternal three, that Christ for man should bleed. Hymn 680.
Thank you.
May the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion and comfort of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, both now and for evermore. Amen.